Hey, my loves, it's your girl Corey Love, and I am here. I am live. You know, I'm in Florida. The weather's been terrible, and so my internet keeps going in and out, but I'm here. Let's cross our fingers that we go all the way through. So thank you for joining. If this is your first time, thank you for joining and come and get to know me. And if you're a returning guest, I appreciate you to continuously rocking with me. All right, so tonight we're going to be speaking with David C. Snyder of HWIC Filmworks. If you don't know them, make sure you check them out at HWIC Filmworks on Instagram and also on Facebook. He is a director. He has directed all their movies. And if you haven't seen one, check one out. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and bring David right on in. Hello, David.
Hi, Corey. How are you?
I am hot.
I bet.
How about yourself?
It was warm here today after a few days of, it got real cool all for a bit, and then it heated back up, so it's going to be hot next week.
You know what I realized with the weather up there? It's just as moody as our weather here in Florida, because if it's storming, it's storming. If it's snowing, it's snowing. Then it just gets hot the next day, so it's pretty similar to ours. We just don't have the snow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I am so grateful that you're being a part of my show. You were supposed to do it like a while back, but things happened with me, so I'm just glad to have you here.
No, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, of course. So we're going to get started. We're not going to tell your age, okay? But
okay.
From what I've seen, you started filming at 12 years old alongside your cousin, Johnny.
Yeah.
How did y'all get started doing that?
You know, I was lucky enough to kind of grow up at that time. I mean, you know, to kind of hint at my age, it was the 80s, you know? And so there were a couple of instrumental things that happened. My parents taking us to the movies a lot. Mm-hmm. And then cable TV, HBO and Cinemax. And then we got a VCR. And we started renting movies. And so it was just a lot of movies. And then my dad is a golf pro at a country club. You know, he was a golf pro at a country club, but he would do a lot of teaching, give lessons. And he bought a video camera so that he could videotape the lessons that he was giving for his students. Mm-hmm. But that didn't really happen because my brothers and I would commandeer the video camera. And started making our own little movies. And then John lived about an hour away. And he was always like, I have two younger brothers, but John was always like our other brother because he was an only child.
And he's the
same. Yeah. So it's same age as my middle brother, Phil. So when he was around, we roped him into the movies too. And it just started there. And for a while I didn't think it was something I could pursue as a career until I started to learn more about it. And then it was kind of like, okay, well, maybe I can do this.
Do you still have that VCR?
Not that particular one, but I do have a VCR. Yes.
Okay.
I have tons of videotapes that have.
Oh, wow. Stuff. You know, yeah. I think it was Monday. It was World VCR Day, either Sunday or Monday. And I was
it really?
Like, hey, I have a DVD, but I don't have my VCR. But that's cool that you still have them. Do you ever like look at the films?
Yeah. Every once in a while. Because I'm trying to transfer all that stuff. Those tapes are going to fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I know there's ways to do that now. I've heard of that. I haven't tried it on any of ours. I don't even watch it because I don't have a VCR.
Right, so, right.
Trust me, I get it. In the beginning of all your films, from what I've seen, you share a little bit about yourself and Johnny and what y'all were doing.
Oh, at the premieres? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At the premiere. Do you ever, I know that you have children, do you ever teach them? Or are they getting to that point where you think they would want to do the same thing?
Yeah. I have a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they kind of are interested in it. You know what's funny is for Scam Likely, and for Black Men Don't Cheat, there were two scenes that they were going to grab when I wasn't there. And so I took my kids and I went and shot like a rough idea of the footage, like visuals, like motion storyboards.
Uh-huh.
And I made my kids act like, okay, shoot the shoot it like this, because I haven't figured out how I want it to be done. And then I sent the footage to Sean Adams, who was my second unit and my director of photography. And then he went out and took the actors and tried to emulate the little short that I made with my kids.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. They're probably more than likely definitely going to do it. At least maybe one of them, if not.
Yeah, both. Davey, the 12-year-old, he's going to be 13, but he's really into acting. He does a lot of stage plays and stuff at school. And
oh, that's awesome.
He really likes that stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So you just said that you kind of did, I guess, like a visual of what you want when you're doing films. How do you, like, where do you get your creativity from? Like, for example, let's talk about Airbnb.
Okay.
Because there were some scenes, and my favorite, I shouldn't say this, but I absolutely obviously love Locked In. Not that because I was there for the premiere, but because there were some scenes that were so creative. Like, I have never seen them, how you shot them. Where do you get that creative mind, or what makes you want to do it certain ways?
They say that good artists, I think, I can't remember if this is right. Good artists borrow, the best artists steal. And really, I'm just stealing from, you know, but it's, the thing about it is when you're in this position, in this field, it's storytelling. And how many years we've had over 100 years of cinema now.
Right.
There's a language there. And that's why audiences are able to understand a movie. When you watch a movie, you understand it because of the way that the basic cinematic language.
Right.
And there are filmmakers that have enhanced that language and twisted that language. And so I just study. I just watch movies, and I watch YouTube is great because I watch people break down movies. So I still study because I'm always trying to learn, and I steal shots from, like, they did the shot in Die Hard that might work here, you know, I could use that kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
I steal from myself, you know. I'm like, I did this in a music video once,
right?
And it would work here. So.
And I didn't know until I started researching that you do music videos, and you've done like over 100 of them.
I think so. It depends on who you ask, but yeah, probably.
Whoa, that's really, really... Can you tell us, like, maybe one artist you've worked with?
Well, the best-known artist I've worked with is Public Enemy. Okay. So,
cool.
Yeah. Actually, on the music side of things, Chuck D is my partner, business partner. So, but yeah, I've been doing their... I think I've done almost all of their videos, save one or two, since 2005.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I've done a bunch for them. They're the kind of best known, but a lot of indie artists, underground artists.
Okay, awesome. Now, I know because you shoot a lot of indie films, there's always a certain amount in the budget for, you know, things like that. I made a post the other day recently, and everyone says they put a lot of their money into production.
Sure.
Has there ever been a time when you had a film that you were, you know, hired to shoot and the budget, from what they showed you and told you, and you felt, this isn't going to work? How did you handle that?
Well, see, I can't say that I have, just because we've always done it ourselves.
Okay.
So, and we've always tried to keep the budgets within reason. Okay. There were a couple of projects that they were going to hire us, an outside company was going to hire us, but there were one or two, and both of those projects fell through. And so we haven't really done that since. We've just kind of, it's all been in-house. But
So you guys basically shoot only your films.
Yeah.
You haven't. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well then, yeah, you wouldn't really have budget issues because you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're always trying to keep it reasonable, and you don't want those things to spiral out of control. In the early days, the first couple of movies we did, we didn't pay anybody just to keep the budgets down. Right. But now we've tried to rectify that so that we can, you know, give people opportunities, and that's important for us.
Okay. Now, with you being a director, typically directors edit as well. I know that you edit.
Yeah.
Is that something that's pretty common, or they sometimes they don't? Some directors don't edit.
Well, I guess at our level, it's a little more common, but I have talked to other directors that don't edit, which is interesting to me because I don't know how you do it, but I guess in a way, so the most recent film that we premiered and is coming soon to Tubi is called Boarding House.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave Sean Adams, that I mentioned before, we gave him his first shot at directing a feature on his own.
Okay.
And so I, you know, Sean directed and then I cut it together. I went up and did a little bit of second unit for a couple days, but mm-hmm. I wasn't there for most of it. So it was an interesting process, you know, getting to cut somebody else's footage, because I'd only done that on occasion with some other little projects here and there.
Okay.
But for me, it's kind of a shortcut in the process if I'm editing something I directed, because when I'm directing it, I'm already shooting for the edit.
Right. You're thinking, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Because I think it would be hard, because I've been on sets where I see, obviously, you know this, you know, they shoot scene one here and then scene three here, and it goes by the, so I can't even imagine like trying to put that together for someone else, but I get that. I mean, that makes sense.
I tell you, for a little while I lived in Myrtle Beach and mm-hmm. Back in the 90s, and mm-hmm. They had, I guess we lost Corey. I'll just wait for her to come back. I would do extra work in films that they were shooting up in North Carolina, in Wilmington. And I worked on a couple of Hollywood films that it was kind of crazy that they didn't seem like they had a plan, and they just shot everything and Ooh. Covered it. Hi.
I was here. I could hear you.
Okay. But, yeah. but they would just shoot like angles upon angles upon angles. And I'm like, you know, I was on set for 14 hours one day for this movie. And when I saw the scene, it was like a minute and a half. I'm like, wow, you guys wasted just so many people's time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like the director, I was kind of watching him because I was curious about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before I had directed any features. And it was kind of like, I kept thinking to myself, do you know what you're doing? Because right. It doesn't seem like you know what you're doing.
Right.
It was interesting.
And it's so funny you say that, because before I've been on set, I always wondered, and it may sound silly to you guys that know how this works, but you know how I know on set you shoot at different angles. And so it's like they're doing that scene over. In my head, and I don't know if it's true, but I always thought that there were like four cameras, and they get them from each different angle.
Well, sometimes. I mean, yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
And for the sake of efficiency, like on Black Men Don't Cheat, mm-hmm. there were times where we would do three camera setups just so that we could, if we were doing a dialogue scene where the actors weren't really moving around that much.
Okay.
And for lack of a better word, we had to get coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so A camera's on this actor, B camera's on this actor, and maybe right. C is a wide shot. And then and then that gives me the option in the edit to go from here to there when I need to, and back again if I have to. But I can already, everything's there, and we can get it all in a take or two takes and not have to do different setups. So it's a time-saving thing. The efficiency thing? Yeah.
So it is a thing. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I just really thought in my head like I was making it up. So
No, not at all.
What's your can you walk us through like a pre-production, you know, process that you take before you get started?
Yeah, so the first thing I do is I go through the script to make sure that the story is gonna flow correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We work with, for the past handful of years, we've been working with Jillian Holt, who is a fantastic writer. And, on occasion, Jill will send a script that I can see in my head that it just needs rearranged a little bit, just to make sure the flow is correct.
Right.
And that it's going to work cinematically. Usually she has all the ingredients there. Sometimes I just got to move stuff around. For example, in Black Men Don't Cheat, where the main title is, where I put the main title that comes up, that was something that I saw, but if I would have shot it the way she wrote it, it wouldn't have came into like 25 minutes into the movie. So I rearranged some things so that that scene moved up and other scenes came later. So that's the first thing I do. And as I figure that stuff out, I try to at least get in a sense of what shots I'm going to need, what shots I can do, and how the scenes are going to, the connective tissue between them all. Sometimes it's a little tough because I don't know where we're going to shoot. You know, I don't know the locations yet or what it's going to look like. Those sort of things, because we shoot everything on location. You know, we haven't ever used sets per se. So sometimes I think in my head, oh, I'll shoot it like this. And then I get to the set and I'm like, wow, that's not going to work at all. But I at least have a plan or an idea.
Right.
So,
and typically you're not able to do walkthroughs if, because it might be certain locations.
Yeah. Sometimes we can, a lot of times we don't. And luckily I've been doing this long enough that I'm pretty good about thinking on my feet and adjusting what I originally thought to what we need to do.
Okay. Now I know that you, the people that you work with, you guys have been working together for a while. And so it's not like you have people in and out coming and going or anything like that. And you just said that with the script, you had to make, you just figured that certain things will go in a better spot. Has there any been any, I mean, not huge conflict or anything, but like a point in time when, say, for instance, Jillian said, well, I wrote in and she'll go like this. And you're like, no, it should go like that. And then Johnny comes in. How do you handle something like that? Because you're the one that's shooting it. You have the eye.
Yeah.
So how do you handle a situation like that?
Luckily, and Jill recently did an interview, which I was so humbled that she said this. She says, David is one of the only people that I trust implicitly with the script. I know that if he makes a change, there's a good reason for it. He's not making a change. He's not making a change because he wants to, you know, get involved or something like that. And it's all going to be, it's all going to be in service of the story and telling the story. So, you know, shout out to Jill. Thank you. And that's it. And sometimes I'll get an idea, but I always run it by them. I run it by Jill because, okay, does this narratively make sense with what you wrote?
Right.
And I run it by John to say, to see, okay, does this fit in to, like, is our viewing audience, is our, you know, our market, are they going to like this? Is this going to make sense? So I always run that stuff by them, especially the more far out it is, the ideas. But yeah, it's definitely a collaborative effort between us all and the actors as well to make sure that, you know, we're being true to the story, true to the vision, and true to the film itself.
Okay. And guys, if you're just tuning in, I see some people jumping on. Tonight I have the pleasure of speaking with David C. Snyder out of Cleveland, Ohio. And he's also a member, well, a partner of AWIC Filmworks. If you have not followed them, make sure you follow them. Recently dropped Airbnb, Locked In. I had the pleasure of being at the premiere and it was so dope. This is one of my favorites out of all of them.
Mine too.
So I don't want to. Yeah, go see it.
But mine too.
For me, all the films are pretty dope. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Heights 1 and 2.
Heights Girl,
Boarding House is coming out soon. Black Men Don't Cheat. We all know that's a lie. But that's one of their films.
It's not necessarily a statement, more of a warning. You know, black men don't cheat.
Okay. Yeah, because everyone thinks it's like black men don't cheat.
Right.
When it's really black men don't cheat.
Yeah, don't do it.
Make sure you check him out. David is a director. He's been doing it for, like my grandma used to say, umpteen 9 years. So he's very, very skilled in what he does. If you check out Locked In, you will see it. I mean, like I said, all the films are pretty dope. But for me, this one, I fell in love with it because there were some scenes that he did some some dope stuff in. And I was like, dang, I was sitting at the premiere, like blown away. I couldn't wait for it to drop. I came back out when it dropped. I looked at it like 2 or 3 times. So I definitely respect and really admire your work. And I had the pleasure of reading Black Man Don't Cheat before it came out. So
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah,
that's
right. For sure. Yeah. And if you,
I was going to say, you know, we shot Locked In like 4 days.
4 days?
Yeah.
How did that, how do you, okay, so I'm going to Houston to work with my sis on a film, and she's like determined that she's going to do 4 hours in one day, and we're going to do it in like 4 to 6 days. But I've read her script, part of it, and I'm like, I don't know, because I've seen, you know, different sets and how it worked. So tell us how that happened. Like, how was it able to be done? 4 days? How many hours?
Well, I'm guessing it's like I'm guessing about 4 days, okay. Because we started on I think it was a Friday evening, okay. and so Friday evening we got stuff like when Buddy Vaughn's character gets home and like the flashback stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. So we did that, and then that night we shot the exteriors of the house where everybody ends up. And then Saturday all day, Sunday all day, we were in the basement and we did all the basement stuff.
Okay.
And then Monday we shot all the stuff at Jason Locke's house with his wife. Okay. And I think we grabbed a couple of other things. And then the following weekend, we had a half a day where we did the rest of the flashbacks and the bank. And that was it.
She might be right. It could be possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy. Cool. It's not
Tell
easy.
Us about, I know, but your team, y'all are so, y'all really gel together. So that's a plus. You know what I mean?
Shout out to my cousin, John Filmworks, because John has really built the company into a well-oiled machine, and it's always refining things too. Yeah. But he recognized early on that if we're going to do this, that it has to be a business and has to be run by like a business. And that's the I credit a great deal of our success to just the fact that we're able to run things like that.
That's dope. That's awesome. Shout out, Johnny. If you're not following Johnny, also follow him at Johnny Filmworks on Instagram. And like I said, they're all on Facebook as well, whichever one, you know, you prefer. And one of the scenes, you guys were in a bank. Now, it's a real bank, but tell us about that. Like, how did you guys were able to do that in there?
So shout out to the Cleveland Film Commission, because they not only help Hollywood productions that come to Cleveland, but they also will help the indie filmmakers as well.
Nice.
And it's really just calling them. And so I talked to the guy that works on locations and stuff, and he gave me two options. And he said, one is an actual working bank. Okay. It's a small branch, but they said they were very open to possibly having filmmakers come in on an off day. Okay. And the other one, which is the one we ended up with, was a closed bank. But it still like looks like a bank. Mm-hmm. You know, they closed it a number of years ago. But there were a couple of Hollywood films that actually shot in that bank.
Oh.
And so I talked to the people that have the working bank, but it was a matter of scheduling and they just couldn't do it. They were trying to be very accommodating, but the scheduling didn't work out.
Just wasn't working.
Yeah. So we called the other place and they were like, oh yeah, sure. Just come on through and whatever, you can have it for the day. And I don't even think we were there for a couple of hours. So,
Cool. And
got everything we needed to.
And you just said something that's really good for new people that's in the film industry, going to the film commission. They help you with location. Do they charge you or? Is it the locations that charge you?
It depends. It depends. Okay. The Film Commission does not charge. The Cleveland Film Commission doesn't charge. They just help out. And I think the bank charged us. I don't recall. I don't think it was but it wasn't anything crazy.
Okay. That's good to know. So if you're just starting out, make sure you check out the Film Commission in your city. That could be a great help, like like David is saying here. So you told us about the techniques that you developed to set up your scenes, how you picture, how you want different things to work, how you work alongside with your team. But obviously, you're not new to this. You're just true to this. And what type of advice? Well, before you say that, let me say, you're obviously a Caucasian man and you shoot a lot of indie films. Have there ever been any conflict or, you know, criticism that said because of you guys doing films of such?
You know, you get people, some people take offense, but not often, but it's like anything else. Everybody's a critic. Everybody has their own opinion on things. And if you let that stuff bother you, this is not the business to be in, you know, because you have to commit to a vision and hope that it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And hope that people will like it. And so far, so good. You know, fingers crossed that we're able to keep telling stories the way we do. Yeah. I don't even necessarily know if it was a skin color thing. Mm-hmm. We had a screening, a film festival screening of Swing Low years ago, and one elderly lady was not happy with the movie because of the violence and so on and so forth. And so she, you know, she gave me some shit for it. but again, you know, but then other people in the audience came to my defense, came to our defense and said, hey, that was a really entertaining movie.
It was.
And so again, you got to have thick skin and you have to let those comments roll off, because there's haters. There's always haters and things.
There's always, even if you're doing good, you know, they're going to talk. You do bad, they're going to talk. So do what the hell you want to do, basically, right?
Because it makes you wonder, everybody's going to bring their own perspective to things and their own experiences and filter the art through that. So when people hate on stuff, especially stuff that we don't quite understand, like, oh, that actor sucked. And we're like, boy, we thought that actor was really good. You know, it's like, what's really going on with this person? Mm-hmm. You know, it's something deeper than that.
Yeah. Especially when you know that person did good, like you said. So, and that's why I'm so skeptical about doing reviews, because, you know, people will say, like, I don't have the background, but in my head, I feel like I look at a lot of films and I feel like I know what should be, you know, happening, the reflections and different things like that. But
like I think if you come from a knowledgeable place and a critical place, it's not just about hating, it's about being constructive. That's the difference, you know, and film criticism, I think, is necessary. And it can always be revised, because that has happened through the years, you know, films get looked at by new generations and they're like, well, maybe this wasn't as awful as they originally said it was, you know?
Yeah. I've seen some films remade and I'm like, keep it to the front. Even like sometimes when people have part one, two, and three of films, I'm like, they should have just stayed on one. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I totally get that. Now, what if there has been any, you know, based on y'all team, I'm sure there hasn't been any challenges, you face so far, and what did you learn from it, if you had any?
Oh, it's always a challenge, even when the team is great. Sometimes things don't work the way you thought they were going to work, or actors just have a moment where it's not working. You know, Heights Girl 2, there was a scene we were doing, and I was trying to figure out where to put the camera for it, because because the location was different than what I thought it was going to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. And as we were running through it, I had to stop everything and take a minute. And I told everybody, I said, I just need a minute. And I went outside and I just needed a minute to regroup. And one of the actors came out and said, are you cool? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's the scene's not working and we got to rethink it. And okay. luckily the actors were game and they were like, okay, well, what do we do? And so we kind of stripped back the entire scene and reapproached it from like, okay, what's the basic idea we have to convey here? Okay. And how do we get there? And then we worked it out. So if you approach everything, you have to be artistic about it, yes, but you also have to come from a place of what's the problem that needs solved? How do we solve it?
I like that.
Yeah, and that has saved me many a times. On the first feature I did, I had to show up. I showed up to the day, and I had so many different scenes and angles I had to do. And I got scared. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here. And then I stopped, took a breath. It was like, okay, how do you solve the problem? Right. How do you solve the problem? That's what it comes down to all the time.
How do you solve? Yes. Okay, good. And so before we do the game, because, you know, I always do a game at the end of the show. you know, for new directors, like I said, my sister is going to be this will be her first time directing a full feature. She has done skits and, you know, shorts, but what advice, and I'm going to put you on the big screen so we can make sure everyone hear this one.
Okay.
What piece of advice would you give someone who's directing their first film?
Just be as prepared as you can be. Preparation is the key thing for everything, but don't keep that as gospel. Allow the changes to come or the happy accidents because sometimes that could be some of the best stuff you get. So it's always great to have a plan. Always have a plan, but don't be afraid to abandon the plan for something better.
I like that. That is a good, I like that. Don't be afraid to abandon, don't be such a stickler. Like, you might have to change it.
Yeah, you do. You always have to change it. We're in the independent films and the budgets we work with. It's about getting things done, but also staying on time and making the day. And sometimes I got to throw entire ideas out the window and just be like, okay, here's what we're going to do and let's get it. Yeah. You know, just to get it done. And sometimes that's what you have to do.
And thank you. Crown Q has a question. How do you go about keeping crew morale on long days or during setbacks? And I'm going to put you on big again just so that everyone can get it.
Okay. Yeah. So the energy comes from me first and foremost, or whoever the director is, the production crew. And as long as you look like you know what you're doing, sometimes you're not going to know what you're doing, but look like you know what you're doing and really charge into the battle and say, okay, all right, and don't be afraid to admit you were wrong. Say, okay, well, that's not going to work. Let's do this instead. And, you know, but you really just try to stay focused and treat everybody well. Always feed your crew, feed your actors. That's a big one. You got to feed them. And, you know, Black Men Don't Cheat, we had a 17-hour day. It was rough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. That's probably the toughest day I've ever had on a set. Yes, sounds look determined at least. Always look determined.
Like, I know what I'm doing. We got this.
Yeah, exactly. And that helps a lot. And again.
You can't let them see you sweat. You know what I mean? Right, then they're going to panic too.
Exactly. But I think if you approach it, like I said, you have a plan going into it, even if the plan changes a little bit, that helps immensely because at least you're working to the common goal. And sometimes you say, okay, that's not working. So we're going to have to rethink this real quick. Let's do that. It doesn't happen very often. Usually you just have to make little adjustments, but sometimes it does.
Okay. I like that. I really like that piece of advice. Does anyone else have any other questions? We're going to jump right into the game. If you don't, again, if you're just tuning in, I am speaking with David C. Snyder of AWIC Filmworks out of Cleveland, Ohio. If you're not already, follow, make sure you follow him and also follow AWIC Filmworks and Jillian Holt on their Soulshabanky,
Soulshabanky, yeah.
Soulshabanky, yeah. And it's a weird saying Jillian because I always call her Soulshabanky.
Oh, yeah. Make sure
you follow her. She's a dope screenwriter. She writes the majority of their films under AWIC Filmworks.
Yeah, since Scam Likely, she's written all of them. So.
Yes. And Scam Likely was good too. You know, there was a lot of trash talking about that, but I thought that film was a damn good film. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
That was good. Oh, we got another question. I love questions. I love it. And you're engaged. You know, coming from the classroom, that's what I'm going to say. I love that you're engaged.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you prefer action-heavy or dialogue-heavy scripts?
Dialogue is usually easier because the setups are usually easier, or they can be easier. But I'm also... I always try to use all the visual tools that I have to tell stories. So the only thing about action stuff is that usually there are more setups. And so they, you know, action sequences, things like that. Those take longer depending on what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Heights Girl 2 has a big action sequence at the end of the movie that I'm very particularly proud of because I really got to flex my action directing chops, and it was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of work. It was so much work. You know, Alex A-Rod Brookins, who plays Bryce in that, was like, how many times I got to run up these steps, man? I'm like, I need more angles, bro. I said, you wanted to be an action star. Welcome exactly. to that world. Yeah.
He should be thanking you. That's why he's so fit now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Once he saw the movie, he was like, I get it.
He's
now.
Pretty good, A-Rod. He's pretty dope as well. Yeah. And like he said, check out Heights 1 and 2. Check out Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. There's two parts to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, right?
No, there was only the first. There was going to... Okay, so I want to put this out there for everybody watching. If you know Swing Low, or if you go and watch it, there's a bit of a cliffhanger ending, okay? Mm-hmm. There was supposed to be a part 2. But Swing Low is based on a novel, and the author never finished the second one. So we didn't...
Somebody gonna have to make something up.
We didn't know. You know, we didn't know where it was gonna go. I don't know if she ever did, actually. Shout out to Cleveland's own Stella. She may have. She may have finished the sequel. But at the time that we were talking about doing the sequel, she hadn't done it. And now that movie was... That was 2013, so it's been over 10 years. So all the actors have aged out of the role.
That'll be a problem. Yeah.
So if you want to know who shot Chariot, I don't know. Sorry, you know, sorry to leave you guys hanging, but she never wrote the second part.
Oh, somebody has a question. I'm going to put it up there for you to see.
When does Boarding House go on Tubi? Oh, Platinum Local Business. Shout out to Platinum Local Businesses.
Woo! Yes.
Boarding House is with our distributor. And so it's just a matter of however long it takes. It's usually like a 2-3 month process for by the time we deliver it until it actually hits Tubi. So.
Is it hard to be a distributor? Because I know you guys do your films and then you have to wait. I mean, how... that process.
Well, you know what's interesting about the distribution thing is we're always learning about it, and we were using one particular distributor for a while, but now we're trying some of the other ones just to see what they bring to the table,
right?
And see who we're going to work with in the future, because they all have pluses and minuses, you know, positive and negatives. It's just a matter of what's going to work best for us. Okay. And accounting is also a big thing, like proper accounting and how long when do we get paid? Because all that stuff is all delayed, you know?
The
movie will go up, but you're not going to get paid for another 4 months.
Yeah. Okay. And Crown Q says, what tips do you have for marketing your films in today's audience? Good one.
John Filmworks, my partner, he's the maestro of that. He's the master of that. But you have to decide who your audience is ahead of time and work towards delivering content towards that audience.
For that audience.
That's the short version. I'm sure he could say it more eloquently than I. But I just knowing from working with him for so many years, that's a really key thing, a really important thing, that always have your audience in mind. As filmmakers, we come from a place of, I want to make the best film possible. And I was like that for the first couple of movies. And then, you know, they fell flat. It was like, you know, you try to market to everyone, no one's going to see it. There's so much content. There's so many films out there and options. So, yeah, you have to determine who your audience is and then really work towards marketing directly to them.
Okay. Makes sense. Makes a whole lot of sense. Because if you're sharing, you know, Disney films, you're not going to market to people in the senior home.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yep.
So I'm going to give you two options for the game. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I have Game Time, which is Finish This Title.
Okay.
You watch a lot of films. You're good. So I think you might be able to do that one.
It'll probably be terrible, but okay.
You think?
Yeah. Because it'll be some stuff, like as many movies as I've seen, there's probably all obscure stuff. And then you'll come up with something. I'm like, oh yeah, I've never seen that.
Trust me. I think you will.
Whatever. We can try it.
Let's try it. See how this goes. All right, guys, it's game time. All right, so it is Finish This Title, okay? And I'm going to come off the screen so that we can see you everything.
You'll see me sweat? All right.
Yes, okay. So I'm going to read part of the title, and you're going to finish it off.
Okay.
Be careful what...
Wait, what time? This is a film title?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, see, what you asked for? I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to do like Steve Harvey does. Skip. You can just say skip. We'll go to
Okay, skip.
All right. Dear blank husband. And if you're in the audience and you know the answers as well, help him out here.
Yeah, help me out a lot. What was it?
Dear blank husband.
Their blank husband. Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, skip that one, too.
Skip. Okay.
Are these all Tubi movies?
All Tubi movies.
Oh, yeah. I'm not getting it. I'm going to be terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on,
I don't get to watch a lot of Tubi movies.
Okay. So yeah. Let's try Would You Rather. All right. It's so funny.
Okay,
Crown Q, I saw your question. I'm going to make sure that I ask. Well, let me ask it to him before we...
Yeah, save me from the game, Crown Q.
How do you stay inspired and eager to work in a freelance-based industry, especially post-strike? Ooh, that's a good question.
Man, you have to... Look, you have to love this. You have to love it above and beyond everything. You have to, otherwise it'll chew you alive.
Mm-hmm.
It'll chew you alive. I went to film school for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And on the first day of my first production class, at the end of the class, the teacher said, most of you are not going to make it through the program. Wow. And we were all like, what the, you know, come on, you know, what kind of, he was right. He was so right. Like the first year, the first quarter of the first year, there were two production classes. The first production class of the second year, it was down to one class. And it thinned out even, I dropped out because I ran out of money. But, but the reality is if you don't love it, first and foremost, because these things, even though we shoot films fast, you have to live with these projects for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you gotta love it, and you gotta be ready and keep the energy going. That's probably the hardest part, is keeping the energy up through the whole thing. So if you don't love it, don't even, you know, go make a short film or two with your friends and try it out. Yeah.
And it's earlier you said you were on a set for, I think you said 16, 17 hours. And that's when I figured out that I really love behind the scenes, because I was on one in LA for 17 hours. It got to the point where the lead she was literally like, F this, I am going home. Let's try again tomorrow. And I was like, whew. I said, everybody was mad because it was literally our last scene. But she was just so exhausted. You know, LA is hot too. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Shout out to Diesel. Yes. Because he was in Black Men Don't Cheat, and that was his last day on set. I didn't even have to be the cheerleader 100% because he was helping me along because he knows, you know, he's done it.
Yeah, I love some Kamel. Oh man,
Kamel is Diesel's great. And he was such a big part of the success of that movie. And again, like he was cheering us on because he was there the whole day with the rest of us. Right. Yeah,
that's love though. That's really, you know. Yeah. Yeah. He's from a whole other city. He does the same thing, so he understands, and that's love.
Yep. That's really cool. Yeah, he's great. Great dude.
All right. I'm going to tell you like I tell my children. Don't think I forgot. We're back to the game.
Okay.
All right. So these are easy ones. It's just would you rather A or B, and you can say which one you rather.
Okay.
You don't have to explain, or if you feel like, oh, well, let me let y'all know why, you can explain. All right. Would you rather give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life or give up the internet for the rest of your life?
Boy. I'd have to freeze to death if I gave up the heating and stuff. I mean, I survived without the internet.
Before.
I mean, it makes a lot of things easier. I will say that. But, you know, I give up the internet, I guess, before heating and cooling.
Would y'all know, right? Would you rather be in a reality show or win an Oscar?
Oh, win an Oscar. Even though I don't really care, but I'm not a big reality show fan. Yeah.
Would you rather be in the Titanic and live or be a castaway for 30 days?
Oh, cripes. Well, if I'm going to live in the Titanic... be on the Titanic and live, I guess I'd take that. I don't know. 30 days is a long time to be alone with yourself.
You know? Would you rather have a successful movie premiere or a big payout when the film drops?
I'd rather have the payout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a personal maid or a personal chef?
Oh, geez. Maybe the maid, because I'm hate cleaning, but it's a pain in the ass. I have to clean this very office like this weekend. Yeah.
Would you rather be a prison escapee like in the Shawshank Redemption or a hostage like in Die Hard?
Do I survive like Die Hard?
Yeah.
Okay. But Andy Dufresne had to like crawl through that pipe full of crap. So I take the hostage thing. I guess I could manage for that. Yeah.
All right. And the last one. Would you rather have telekinesis, the ability to move things with your mind?
Yeah.
Or telepathy, the ability to read minds?
Oh man. Wow. maybe the read minds, maybe telepathy. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a problem like getting up and moving stuff around, but the reading minds is interesting. Yeah,
interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, that was fun. See, that wasn't that hard.
Yeah,
right?
Tubi movie titles. I don't know. I'm lucky I know the titles of my own movies.
Oh man, it's been a pleasure having you. Thank you guys to all of you that's tuned in and stayed on. I appreciate the support. Like I said, if this is your first time, please don't let it be your last time. And if you're returning, I greatly appreciate the support all the time. And make sure you follow David C. Snyder on Instagram. And is it the same thing on Facebook?
I'm not really on Facebook. I know there's a page there. I haven't checked it forever, but it's like a Yeah, but if you follow HWIC Films.
HWIC Filmworks. Yeah, Filmworks. Okay, and make sure you follow Johnny Filmworks and also Jillian Holt, which is at So Shabanky, all right?
So Shabanky.
So, as always, I'm your girl, Corey Love. This is the Corey Love Show. If you're just tuning in, make sure you go back and check the replay. You can check it out on Facebook, and you can also check it out on Corey Love TV on YouTube. So, guidance, lessons, and love, everyone. Thanks again. Good night.
Thank you, Corey.
You're welcome.